Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
I always start with a story. I called my dad last night. When Ted and I got married, August 27th, 2010. I memorized that, thank you. And so, because I don't always remember when I got married, and so, and he's impressed. I know I've just impressed him. And so, if you're not impressed, he's impressed. And so, if you don't know, it was a long time before I got married. I started Hope Extreme, did a lot of work within the community, and the Lord brought Ted into my life in January. He called me and offered to go to a Pelicans game, and it didn't even matter who you were at that point. I'm just saying yes. And so, and it was in a suite with free food, so like that's a double yes. And so, so he had no clue that I love basketball. And so, anyway, to like a long story short, like in 3 months we're engaged in August of 27, 2010. We got married, I didn't care about anything. I was not the Godzilla bride. I didn't really care about, like, you could just sort of do what you want. Ted picked out our colors, you know. And so, not normal, my dad catered our whole wedding for us. And he was like the Nazi, like the wedding Nazi. And so, all those things started happening. But the thing I cared about was the service. Like, I wanted to have a powerful, God-moving service. So, from front end to back end, I planned our wedding ceremony to have, like, these wonderful things, you know, like videos and all these things and the word of God and what was going to be said. And at the end of the service, right before they said, we had to say, I now pronounce, you know, Ted and whatever they say, Ted Daddy Vo, you know, Mrs. and Mrs. Ted Daddy Vo. Right before that happened, I asked my dad if he would come on stage and do a blessing. Now, if you know my dad, or I've told stories about my dad, he's like a one-sentence kind of man. He doesn't, like, say a whole lot. He preached a sermon one time, and, like, he literally read Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, you slugger, consider it the ways you can be wise, and that was it. And he was like, yeah, y'all shouldn't be sluggards. That's what he told his kids. And so that was, like, the end. And so I wasn't really, like, expecting anything. I wasn't expecting much at all. And so, but I just wanted my dad to bless me and to bless our marriage, because my mom and dad have a marriage that we look up to. And so, and not only that, he's just a man of God. And so I asked him, and I remember him coming on stage at the wedding. I'm nervous. I don't typically get nervous. And at my wedding, I was like a basket case. And so he comes on stage, and he just proclaims a blessing. And this is so not like my father. Usually it would be like one sentence, we're done, hallelujah, let's eat, amen. And not this time. He got on stage, and I asked him yesterday, I said, Dad, did you have a paper? And he said, no, I didn't have any papers. I didn't have any like pre-written prayers. And he prayed a blessing over us. And I don't know if Ted, he didn't know my dad like he knows my dad now, but he prayed that God would enlarge our tents, that he would be gracious to us, and that his favor would be upon our lives, and that the impact of our marriage would have ripple effects into people and generations. At this time in our lives, Ted was working at North American Shipbuilding, and I was just doing my little thing, running a nonprofit, and we had no intention of doing anything more than that for the rest of our lives. But when my dad spoke that blessing over our lives, and he proclaimed the blessings of God, clearly given by the Holy Spirit, there was something that was released in that room, and I held on to it. And I treasured it, because I know it wasn't like my father to speak that kind of word over my life. And I'll never forget, about 3 years later in 2013, the Lord put on our hearts to start a church. And I thought, is this God enlarging the influence and the tent that God had prayed specifically through my father in 2010? And over that years, you know the story, in like 2016, we adopted kids that were international. God began to even give us the nations as our inheritance. I want to say to you this morning, there is a power in a blessing. We live in a generation that curses people. And I'm not just saying like the F word and, you know, whatever those kind, that's clearly true. But we live in a generation where our words that have power, because the Bible says that God used the power of God to create. He used the word. In the beginning, there was light. How did God create light? He spoke it into existence. And that same power lives on the inside of us. And we declare and proclaim things with our words. But our culture is great at putting people down and not just speaking a curse word, but a curse. Does that make sense? Like, we can say a curse word. Sometimes I think curse words aren't even the end of all end all. I don't tell my kids that because you're not going to use a curse word. But you're also not going to speak a curse. You know what I'm talking about? Where you begin to declare negative things, and when you begin to speak with your mouth things that are not of God. So the next 3 weeks, we want you to join us. This morning, we're talking about it's a blessing to speak a blessing. Next Sunday, you need to be here because Pastor Ted's going to speak on breaking generational curses. This neighborhood and this area in specifically is underneath generations of curses. And it is time for the people of God, that's you and me, to step up and say, not on my watch. I'm going to speak a blessing over this community. I'm going to speak a blessing over my family. I'm going to speak a blessing over this church, this ground, this property. I'm going to speak a blessing over the east side of Houma because somebody needs to. Because our culture is so good at saying, oh, you're from that side of town. Or you're from those people. Or that's who your mama was. Or that's who your daddy was. And what do they do with the power of their tongue? They are speaking a curse over you. And you might not even know it because you're so used to hearing, well, that's what they've always said about me. Or I was the youngest, or I was immature, or I didn't really grow up like everybody else grew up. Or my daddy was an alcoholic, so I'm an alcoholic. And today's message, I want to encourage you, just like my dad spoke a blessing, that you would begin to speak blessings. Why? Because there is a power in blessings. God blesses Adam and Eve. He blesses them. What does he say? Be fruitful and multiply. Well, that's worked well. 8 billion people later and all the people that have passed on before us. That was a blessing that God issued. God blessed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. What did he do? He blessed them and said, you will be as numerous as the stars, even though he didn't even have a kid yet. So what does it mean to be a blessing? I'm going to throw this, well, they're going to throw this up on the screen if you're writing notes this morning. Blessing in ancient Hebrew meant anointed to win. Anointed to win. Empowered to overcome and impossible to curse. Can I read that one more time? A blessing. When ancient Hebrew, when they would name their children, we always go to like, what's the most popular name in the book, you know, and that's what we're going to name our kids. What's trending on Twitter or what's trending on TikTok, and that's how we find our kids' name. But in ancient culture, what they would do is they would speak a blessing even when they would name their children. You have to remember, even Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, at the end of their life, what do? They speak a blessing. They pull their 12 kids in, and he speaks a blessing over the tribe of Dan and the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Joseph and all those people. He speaks with his mouth an authority that he has because he has followed Jesus and he's followed God. And so a blessing is that you're anointed to win, you are empowered to overcome, and it's impossible to curse. I love that third part. That it would be impossible. You can curse me out. You can speak curses into my life. I pray that you don't. But I'm blessed by the Lord. I'm highly favored. I'm walking in an anointing to win. I'm empowered to overcome. It might not look like it. I might not feel like it. I might be in my emotions because I'm a woman. And so I might have all those feelings. But at the end of the day, it is impossible to curse what God has blessed. Let me say that again. It's impossible to curse what God has blessed. Somebody say, I am blessed. Miss Sarah, she's in the back of the crowd. She drove her van this morning. Every time I ask her, I say, Miss Sarah, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. I don't know if she feels that. I don't know if she's thinking that. But out the words out of her mouth have the power of life and death. That's what the Bible says, that we have the power of life and death with our tongues. And so we have to beat the culture. We cannot allow this culture to infiltrate our homes, infiltrate our minds, infiltrate our schools. And you go to a school and what do you hear? Cursing. And I'm not just talking about curse words. You hear them taking down people with their words. My kids, they'll talk to me and they say, Mom, it isn't like it was and back in the day. I said, well, I got teased back in the day. Mom, not like it is now. Why? Because they do it with their tongues. They do it with the media. They do it, and it's never ending. These curses that they're speaking, and it's bringing down a generation of people. Now get this. This sermon is not a blab it and grab it. This is not that kind of sermon. I'm not even that kind of preacher. We church on the east side of Houma. This is not a more money cometh series. It's not. This is not a nothing bad will ever happen to you and I won't have to suffer. I know that there are seasons of suffering and God tells us to embrace sufferings. But this is a blessing series. This is not a manifesting series. Let me explain this to you who don't know what manifesting is, because some of us in the room know what it is. In 2006, Oprah became very popular. Well, she was always, I guess, popular, but she spoke a manifesting. And what manifesting is, if you don't know, it's probably in your family or somebody in your sphere of influence thinks this way. It's where you think on something, you visualize, you speak your goals, and the universe will work its magic, and you can co-create anything. So I'm manifesting a college degree, or I'm manifesting more money, or whatever. This is not that message. This is not what I'm talking about. Manifesting is not of God, because they're just going to be seasons where it doesn't even matter. There's still going to be something that comes up that though you walk through the rivers and you walk through the fire, but you can know that God is with you and you're blessed in through those things. So I want to talk this morning about a blessing. Somebody say a blessing. Now, we just sang the song, the blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. That's all from the scriptures in Deuteronomy. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Do you know that that song was written right before COVID? In 2020, God gave that song to Carrie Job and her husband, Cody Corns, and they wrote that song right before the beginning of COVID. And it was sort of getting viral and sort of becoming famous, but what a song to declare over your family, over your people, over your generations, even though we walked through a pandemic, that God had not left us. And there was a blessing still in the middle of great circumstances. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 8, it says there's a spoken proclamation that will come even from a person like a prophet or a priest or a king. And a lot of times what would happen is in the Old Testament, there would have to be someone that spoke the blessing. So in Deuteronomy 10, we're going to get to two verses a little bit later, but in Deuteronomy 10, it's going to be on the screen. It says this, at that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi. That was going to be the priest. It says to carry the ark of the Lord and to stand before the Lord and to minister and to what? Pronounce what? Pronounce blessing in his name. So out of the 12 tribes, there was a tribe that was going to minister, a priestly ministering tribe, but they weren't just going to minister, they were going to pronounce blessings. Everybody say pronounce blessings. So what we are called to do now that we are in the lineage of Jesus is we are to pronounce blessings. I want you to turn this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 9. 1 Samuel, it's in the Old Testament. It's sort of in the Chronicles area of your Bible. So there's a Bible in front of you, behind you, all around you. See what I did there. So 1 Samuel chapter 1. There is a man of God who is getting ready to proclaim a blessing. At the end of the service, we're going to proclaim a blessing over you and your family. We wrote it yesterday afternoon, and we just believe that the Lord would speak this into you, your family, our church, our community. 1 Samuel chapter 1, look at verse 9. It says this, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli was the priest of the time, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple. Hannah, she was deeply distressed, and she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She was unable to have children, and so she cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I just want a child. I want a child. And Eli is the ministering priest at the time. In verse 11, it says that she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, If you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but you will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli, the priest, observed. Now, remember, we just read that God was going to bring priests through the tribe of Levi, and they were going to pronounce blessings in his name, and they would do this even today. So look, keep on reading. In verse 14 and 13, it says, Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. So she's like, who is this woman in the house of the Lord? She's drunk. Look at verse 14. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. So again, she was just so distressed and such torment in her soul because she's unable to have children. It looked like she was drunk, but she was not. Keep on reading in verse 16. It says, do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. And look at 17, if you're underlining or highlighting, here it is. And Eli answered her, and he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. So he speaks a blessing. God heard Hannah's cry. She wanted to have children, and she wanted a son. And she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him back to the temple. And so God heard the prayer that came out of Hannah's mouth, but then he used the man of God, Eli, to speak and pronounce a blessing. And that blessing in verse 17 says, go in peace. So get rid of your fear, your anxiety, your vexation that she had. And it says, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have been made known to him. Fancy words, it says God heard her prayer. And Eli was the conduit that said, go and do what you have asked in your heart. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. And the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Because why? She got her son. She got the very thing that she had cried out for the Lord. And the Lord used the prophet Eli to pronounce blessings. Somebody say, pronounce blessings. So this continues. This doesn't just hear like in this scripture or in this passage. We then hear it like Jesus in Luke 24, verse 50, Jesus pronounces a blessing, and he lifted up his hands, the Bible says, and he blessed them. Somebody say, bless them. So ultimately, we have a blessing that we can give. We have a blessing that we can receive. And a lot of times, God will use people to bring about the liberty that you have been looking for. So number one, if you're taking notes this morning, we have only 2 points. Number one, there's a blessing from speaking a blessing. Number one, everybody say, God wants to bless you. Now, I wrote this because when you look at Hannah's life, you think, okay, the Lord doesn't really want to bless her. He wants her to not have children, or maybe he wants her to cry out longer or harder. But we have to understand that God wants to speak a blessing. He's not interested in speaking curses. That's the enemy. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes that you have life, and you have life more abundantly. That sounds like a blessing to me, and it sounds like the thief wants to steal the blessings of God over your life. Somebody in this room this morning has to know that you too can be blessed. I'm not talking just to the pastor. I'm not just talking just to the leaders this morning. I am saying that your family, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor, your house, your community can be blessed. And you think, well, I can't be blessed. I've been the least all my life. Not after today. Because why? We can speak a blessing, and those words have power that can change the trajectory of your life. I'm a living witness. In 2010, I was just going to do my own thing. In 2013, the Lord started enlarging the places of our tent. Maybe you've been the one that's picked on. You've been the one that's been bullied. And that has traveled with you. Maybe you were the unfavored kid. You know what I'm talking about? The kid that's not the favorite. If you're the favorite kid, just, you know, whatever. But if you're not, and you've been the one that's unfavored, and everybody else is better than you and smarter than you, and they made a better grade than you, and they were more athletic than you or prettier or handsome or whatever it is, and you've walked underneath that curse. I love this. 2 weeks ago, Brother Andrew said, he said, you need to break those schoolyard curses off of your kids. There are things that we hear and that we have heard. You've had them spoken all over your life. I almost think living here on the east side, there's like a mentality that comes like, oh, well, that's not the good school. That's the good school. That we have that in our generational lineage. And we're living under a curse, and that's all you've been used to. All you've been used to is, well, that's the most I deserve. You are a child of God. You need to rise up this morning and say, just wait. If he's a child and he's blessed, I'm a child and I can be blessed too. Would you turn to Romans chapter 8? That's in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, I want to read to you this morning what the Lord God thinks about you. Not your family, not your person who has it all together. What God thinks about you this morning. In Romans chapter 8, it's in the right after the book of Acts. He writes about Acts, and there's a letter to the church at Rome. They call the book Rome. Paul writes it, and he's convincing them, and he's trying to tell them who they are. You have to know this morning who you are. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 31. At Romans chapter 8, in verse 31, it says this: what then shall we say to things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all? How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That's you. If it's God who justifies, who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised. And now he sits at the right hand of the God, and he is interceding for us. That means he is praying for you this morning. You serve a Father, and his Son Jesus, the Christ, sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he says, I am your Father, and he says, I am the one who's praying for you. That gives us confidence. Keep on reading. It says this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution? He's not saying any of those things are not coming. Or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. This is Paul. He's been through some things. He said, we are regarded like sheep to be slaughtered. And he's not saying that the tough times won't come, or the tribulation or the famine or the danger or the sword. But he says no in verse 37. And if you're writing this morning, write this down. In all these things, even if we go through tribulation or distress or those things that come in our world, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So your confidence comes because of who Christ is. It says, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Somebody say the love of God. The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's who we are. You are loved this morning. You have a purpose this morning. There's not an angel or a demon. There's not death or hell. There's not rulers or things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth. Anything in all of creation that can separate you from the love of God. You are blessed this morning. And I want to fight on God's team. I want to be a part of this blessing. Since God is for you, you need to be for you as well. That's not being conceited. That's not being prideful. That's just knowing who you are in Christ. That's walking with the confidence this morning and saying, like Miss Sarah, I am blessed and highly favored. Many times we hinder what God wants to do because we don't believe what his word says about us. We know what it says about other people. Oh, yeah, God can do that for you, but God wants to do it for me. And he wants to do it for you because I'm speaking to you. Praise God for the gospel of Jesus. So number one, God wants to bless you. Number two, his blessing is released through declaration and his presence. So, in order for the world to have had light, he spoke light into existence. He said, let there be light. And then the Bible says, and there was light. So sometimes we need to start speaking blessings. We're really good at speaking cursings. We're really good at believing cursings. But what if we became a people that said, you know what? When I walk out this room, sometime this afternoon, if you have kids, you're going to call all your kids together in your family, and you're going to speak a blessing over their life. And like, that's intimidating, but there's power in it. What if you get some of your workers tomorrow together, and you speak a blessing over the company that you work at? But I don't even like the company that I work at. It. Yeah, but God wants to bless it because you're there. There's a blessing whenever sometimes, remember the Ark of the Covenant? And the Ark of the Covenant was in somebody else's house, and what happened? God sent his blessings to that house because he was there. So we have that power. What if teens, you go to your school and you grab a group of people and you say to your school, I'm going to declare the blessings of God with my mouth. And guys, you have to say this out loud. You can't say it underneath your breath. No. There is a power when we declare out loud. Somebody say out loud. But I can't speak. I'm telling you, my dad is not an overwhelmingly good speaker. But when he came up to that stage at my wedding, God overtook his mouth. I don't even know how. He doesn't even remember it because I called him yesterday. And he said, I have no clue. But it was so powerful what he declared over his family and his generations. We have to declare it. In Proverbs 10, verse 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. It's his favor, his wisdom, his protection, his abundance, his ability, his grace, his joy, his freedom, his peace is all resting upon you and whatever you put your hand to. This morning, we have a practical application. Right in front of your seat, I'm a teacher, so if you could grab this in your seat pocket is a application. We're going to do two things this morning. We're going to look over this, and then we're going to have a time of blessing. We're going to proclaim out loud. But guys, just like Ted and I can proclaim a blessing over you, and we've proclaimed this blessing over our kids, you too can walk out of this room and proclaim a blessing. You are anointed, you are chosen, you are loved. And you have an authority and a responsibility in the places that God has called you to. Do you know that there are 105 blessings and benedictions in the Bible? I looked that up this weekend because I am a nerd, see? But I need to claim a blessing. And so 105, I wrote about 10 of them on this sheet. These are benedictions and blessings that you can pray over other people. And I know you can read, but over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear these blessings because we're going to break generational curses next week. But you're going to hear us at the end of service, every service at Hope Community, we're going to declare a blessing. As it doesn't even matter what we're preaching on. We're going to speak with our mouths and declare. So like, for example, look at the first one, Numbers 6 and 24 through 26. It says, the Lord, we just sing this, the Lord bless you and keep you. Can you read that with me? The Lord make his bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Read the next one. In Ruth 2, verse 4, it says, the Lord be with you and the Lord bless you. Now, these are a little bit different. When they're coming from the New Testament, it wasn't what was considered a blessing, but rather a benediction, which was a blessing, but it usually would come in between the books or in the middle of the books in Ephesians, and you would see it. So let's read together Romans 15 and verse 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep on. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. One more. Ephesians 3 and verse 16 and 19. 19. I pray that out of the glory riches, he, the Father, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. One more. We're just going to do it all. It says this in 1 Thessalonians, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and work. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Now may the God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom we be glory forever and ever. And the last one, to those have been called who are loved in God the Father and kept for Christ Jesus, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Would you stand to your feet this morning? We wrote a blessing. And so this is like the prayer of Jabez. This is some of Deuteronomy, a little bit of Ephesians, a little bit of, I think, Romans. And what the way we want to end service this morning is we're going to sing that chorus, the Lord bless you and keep you. But we also just want to speak a word. Number one, because we know there's power when we speak a word. We live in a rough spot. You know that. Like just this week, like just the things that happened here were just crazy. Like someone, we think through like a big rock at the sign up at the top of the street, and like now the LED sign's out. Like that's just like one thing. Like it's just thing after thing after thing. And today we want to, instead of declaring curses, we want to speak blessings over you, your family, your school, young people, your job, old people, and your generations. And even if you don't have kids, I want to say this, you're influencing someone. And that goes not just to you, but it goes to generations that are coming behind you. I love speaking and declaring to the kids and the people, my grandkids that I can't see yet, and my great-grandkids. I'm already calling them worship leaders and prophets and kings, and that I can't even see that, but I'm just declaring the blessings of God over our family. So this morning we want to declare the blessings of God.
Amen. As you faithfully obey the Lord your God, being careful to follow him in all your ways, that the Lord God will bless you indeed and would enlarge your territory, that his hand would be with you and would keep you from evil. We ask that the Lord command his blessing on your life and all that you undertake. We pray that the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and that every curse will be broken. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, that you would know what the immeasurable greatness of his power is according to the working of his great might, and he would do more than you can ask or imagine according to his power at work in us. Amen. Let's sing this morning. Would you lift up your hands and just receive that blessing that we spoke over you? And we're just going to declare this song over our lives and over our children, over our generations to come. We're going to speak a blessing. And so would you just lift up your hands and lift up your hearts to the Lord as we end out with this song this morning.
Tuesday, you can come with us and pray at 9 right here, and we're just going to begin to declare the blessings of God over your family. But I want to encourage you, when you walk out this room this morning, to do that. Bring in your kids, or bring in a neighborhood, or whoever your influence is. And I know that might be difficult or challenging, or you've never done that, or your family's never done that, but this is the time, right, to speak blessings, to speak life. Quit using your tongue to curse. Rather use it to bless. And watch what the Lord will do. Watch what he will do. Lord, we thank you, God, that the power of life and death is in the tongue. God, we thank you that you sit, Jesus, at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. And God, that you love us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. God, so we walk out of this room in confidence of who we are because of who you are. And so, God, we pray the blessings of God over our families. God, we pray the blessings of God over this church. God, we pray the blessings of God over our community. And God, we pray the blessings of God even over our nation. Lord God, our workplaces, God, our schools. God, that you would visit us again. Lord, we pray that, God, for revival. We just ask, God, for a holy hunger, God, start in our hearts, where we would desire you, Lord. God, help us to use our tongues to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. We love you guys. Join us Wednesday. We're all back. We're going to be here all week. Hug somebody's neck. Speak a blessing over them. Grab that paper. It's yours. Put it up wherever you look at the most, and just use those to speak blessings as well.